The word today is excuses. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. People have many excuses for not going to church. One of the most common is, there are too many hypocrites in the church. How would you answer that objection? Here from our archives, with his thoughts, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Excuses.
If you are a child of God, you will want to tell others about Jesus. And when you do, you're going to run into excuses. There are people that will say things to you. They will try to find an intellectual way to reject your witness. Now, I'm talking about people that are worldly, people that don't want anything to do with the church, people that are offended that you come to them to make a witness. And so they will have arguments that they feel will stop you in your tracks. We would call these excuses, and they're going to make excuses. Let me give an example of one of these. Some people will say, the reason I am not a Christian is because there are so many hypocrites. Have you ever heard that one? you know, it's pretty common. And the people of the world around us like to point to the fact that there are a lot of hypocrites in the Christian church. And, of course, they're positively right. As a matter of fact, I think the most effective answer you can give them is to agree with them, is to say, well, you're positively right. We know there are many hypocrites in the church. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself pointed to that fact when he was here on earth. He said, you know, there are many who hear the message and many who say, yes, yes, you know, they act as though they are in agreement, but their hearts are far from me, meaning they really don't mean it. They really don't change their lives. They just go on living the same way they always have to indicate that there's been no real change. There is no real genuine conversion. There's no real genuine acceptance of Jesus as their personal Savior. And so when those people remain in the church, and I'm talking about the structure of the church, the organized church, a lot of times we refer to these as denominations, like Lutheranism or Roman Catholic or Presbyterian or Methodist or Baptist, whatever the church body would be. And I think it's very important that we have to admit, yes, there are hypocrites in all of these earthly churches, people who pretend to be believers, and yet, as a matter of fact, are not. Now, we do have to put out a word of caution here. There needs to be a warning that a lot of times when the world is saying someone is hypocritical or someone is not being a Christian, even though they pretend to be, it could be that they're looking at and observing a weak Christian. Let's take an example of someone living in a neighborhood, and this person that lives next door to them is a member of a church, and they go to that church fairly regularly, let's say, and yet they know that this person is dishonest in their business. Let's use that as an illustration. They cheat people, and they are liars and so on. And so in their mind, they're saying, well, there's a church person who claims to be a believer, and yet look at them. They're a liar and they're a cheat. It's possible that that person is, in fact, a hypocrite. Maybe their faith and their going to church is a fake, and they don't really believe it, and as a result, in their lives, they do lie and cheat because they don't really have a commitment to Christ. That's a possibility. But there's another possibility, and that is that this person could be a weak Christian, somebody who isn't too strong, and in their daily life, when they're tempted to cheat somebody or they're tempted to lie, they yield to that sin and lie. We know that Christians are still sinners. We are not perfect. There's a lot of sin in our lives, and as a result, living here on this earth, we can be tempted by Satan. What a terrible witness that is to the world around us when we are living very worldly instead of in a better attitude and a better relationship to people where we make a decent, good, strong witness for Christ. Now, the unbeliever, the person of the world, isn't going to know whether that's a weak Christian or a fake Christian. Either way, they're going to call that person a hypocrite, and they're going to say, well, I don't want to be like them. And you'll sometimes hear them say, well, I don't want to be like the people who go to church. They pretend to be so holy, and they pretend to be so good, and yet I know their lives, and in their lives, they're not that way. They are just pretending, and they're faking it. Well, I think the first step then is to agree. Yes, we know there are many hypocrites in the church, but that doesn't mean that you have to join them and be fakers and be unbelievers and go to hell with them. You know, if everyone was jumping off a cliff, that doesn't mean you had to go and jump off with them. We know that there are a lot of people in the church that are not very strong in their faith, and many who don't even believe at all. Maybe they're coming just because their wife wants them to, or because they're trying to make some kind of a statement for their little kids or something like that. You know, I always tell people that say that a relative of theirs is coming only to please them, I always say, well, that's good. That's good. Get them there any way you can. And if that's the only reason they're coming, thank them for coming and tell them you're happy that they're coming. Because when they're in touch with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is there, and they can be converted. They can be brought to faith. So if you know somebody that's coming to church and faking it, I would be more grateful at least that they're coming to hear the Word and have a chance to be in touch with God's Word. They could be end up being converted. So don't discourage that. Now, the other part of it is, you know, people say, well, why doesn't God, after all, maybe God is just playing a game and he's ultimately going to save everybody. Well, of course, that's nonsense. That's nonsense. God has rules, and he's told us what they are. God is a holy and a righteous God, and he's not going to permit sin to enter into his heaven. Supposing you had a nice retirement house, and you've worked very hard to build this retirement house, and you've carpeted it very well, and you've painted it, and you have hardwood floors, and you've really done a great job on this a retirement home. And now the time for your retirement comes. And so you head out to your house, and here you have a stream of people coming to your home. Here's a guy that's just so full of mud and evil, and he's cursing and he's swearing. He says, oh, let me into your house. And you know, all he wants to do is break all the windows and ruin your floors. And you say, no, this isn't something that I've prepared for you to come in to destroy and ruin. And then you see somebody else coming. You see a drunkard, or you see a murderer coming, and they're swinging an axe. And they say, well, let me into your home. And what are you going to say? You're going to say, no way. I didn't prepare this wonderful place here to have you come in and destroy it. I don't want people like you here. You go destroy whatever you want to out there, but you're not going to destroy my retirement home and so on. I mean, intellectually, even mentally, it would be very stupid of God to at the last minute say, well, I was just joking, I don't care, let anyone come in here regardless what their sin is, regardless what their problem is. Let anyone come in here because I'm not going to keep it perfect anyway. I thought I would, but I'm going to give up. I guess I'll just let anyone in. Well, you know God is not going to do that. He has told us he won't. He says there will be no sin in heaven. He won't permit it. There will be holiness there. There will be perfection there. There will be joy there. Now, obviously, if someone comes to God and says, God, I want to give up my sinful ways and I want to serve you and live for you, Will you forgive me? Of course God will forgive them. God is the one drawing them to himself. God is the one converting them. God is the one giving them this gift of salvation. Of course he wants them to be blessed. He wants them to come in and live happily forever in his heavenly home. But the important point is to understand there is a judgment. There is a hell. There is a real hell. And there is a real devil. And people are going to have to make a choice. And the world who rejects Christ has made their choice. God is righteous. God is holy. He is going to keep his will, his holy, perfect will. And there will be a judgment. There will be a hell. This is not a game. It is positively a fact that everyone needs to have Jesus in order to have salvation. Without Jesus, there is no hope. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. Without Jesus, there is life eternal, but it'll be in hell instead of life eternal in heaven with Jesus. And so when people start to say, well, I don't know, you know, a loving God, isn't he going to save everyone at the last minute? No, God is not going to save everyone at the last minute. He's not playing a game. He's very sincere. That's why missions are so important. That's why it's so important for you to talk to your loved ones. There is one chance that they have, and that's through Jesus Christ. If they reject that, they're rejecting the gift of salvation. Now, there's always hope, even at the last minute. We're talking about the last minute. Yes, there's always hope. People have been converted at the last minute. That's such a glorious, wonderful miracle when it happens. But don't assume that your loved ones or that your neighbors or someone else is going to have a chance at the end. You never know that. Sometimes their hard-heartedness causes them to rebel and even reject more firmly. So speak to them now about Christ and talk to them about their choices and their alternatives and tell them that God wants them to have life eternal. He wants them to have life with him in heaven.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.